Well, good morning. What a great day to be in worship. As we begin this summer, it's great to have all our college students back and leading us in worship, and the ones who've been with us all year who are out here worshiping with us this morning. It's so good to see you and to be able to celebrate our high school graduates this morning. Some are here this morning, some will be in later services, but if you are one of the high school graduates that is here this morning, will you stand? We want to recognize you, and I want to pray for you this morning as we celebrate this milestone. Go ahead and stand. All right. All right. You know I pray for a long time, so you may want to be seated as I pray. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace to us that we've been singing this morning. You have called us to worship you and honor you and glorify you, Lord, with our lives. Father, you've called us to get rid of our sin and pursue lives of holiness and godliness. And Lord, that can be such a struggle sometimes. But in Christ Jesus, you have given us victory. You have given us the gift of your Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to convict us of our sin, to lead us and guide us in all righteousness. Whether we're 1 year old or 101, you never leave us or forsake us. Your Holy Spirit is constantly, whether we turn to the left or to the right, pointing us to the way, to follow it. And so, Lord, we rejoice as we seek to follow you this morning. We pray specifically for these high school graduates as they hit this milestone and are beginning to think about and plan for this transition in their lives. Lord, we ask for your protection upon them. Lord, protect them from the evil one. Lord, sometimes transitions in life can be so hard. Sometimes we can feel, Lord, in the midst of all that's going on, so alone. Lord, where we are trying to hold on to the past, not sure what the future will bring, and there's all these unknowns. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to pour out your Holy Spirit on these students. Lord, let them know, Lord, their identity is in you, how much you love them, you have adopted them into your family as your sons and daughters. And I pray that they would live into that identity, Lord, more and more. Lord, not only would you protect them, but you would provide your best for them. Lord, that they would, Lord, say no to the things they need to say no to. Say yes to the things that you are calling them to, Lord Jesus. And I pray in the midst of this, Lord, as they make these transitions, Lord, like many of the college students here this morning, Lord, who have kind of found their way through college and got involved in campus groups or clubs or Bible studies or gotten connected to a church, Lord, I pray those same things for these high school graduates as they head off, Lord, all over the country, some staying here locally, that, Lord, you would get them connected to a local body, intergenerational body where, Lord, they could lead, they could serve, they could know you and love you more and more with their lives. I pray that you would surround them with other Christian friends, that they could do life together, encourage together. Lord, I thank you for those who will be rooming together. Lord, opportunity for them, as iron sharpens iron, to sharpen one another. Lord, there is a lot going on in this world today. Lord, the stream of our culture, Lord, it's so easy to get swept away in what everybody else is doing. And I pray, Lord, that they would flow into a different stream, that they would be more concerned with what you are doing and partnering with you in this world, Lord, as we await the return of Christ. Lord, we celebrate Pentecost this Sunday, the gift of your Holy Spirit to indwell us, and I pray it would indwell these young men and women in powerful ways as we send them out as a church into this world, praying for them, encouraging them, and rooting for them all along the way. Lord, may they help point others to know Jesus. Lord, and we thank you for your faithfulness to them to this point. Lord, be with their parents, Lord, be with their family, Lord, during this transition. May it be a time of celebration of your goodness and grace, and may it be a time of of continuing to be prayerful, Lord, for their future. Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, boys and girls, it's that time. Come on down. Come on. There we go. Way to go. First one up. Come on down. Yeah, come on down. So today, you're in for a treat because my friend wants to help. Come on down. Perfect. Come on down. You can just don't kiss her here. That's awesome. Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Do you guys know what we are celebrating today, this week?
Pentecost.
Good, great. What is Pentecost about?
The Holy Spirit descending.
Good, that's great. Does everybody know what is Pentecost here about? The Holy Spirit, right? You know, on the Pentecost, what happened is the disciples of Christ spoke in different languages. So, some of those were Egyptians. So, I am from Egypt too. So, the Holy Spirit spoke to the Egyptians. Do you guys have any immigrants or like people who are not speaking different languages in school with you?
Yes, I have one in my class.
Okay.
His name is Benjamin.
Great, Benjamin. Anybody else? He's Ukrainian. Great. Amazing.
The other brothers.
Great. Do you know the Holy Spirit calls us to love them and care for them? So, can you guys tell us how to care for immigrants? Like, you teach us. How do you care for your friends at school? Yes. Great. Amazing. Help him how to speak English. That's very helpful. What else? Yes.
I play with him and we have this app called Translate. We translate and we can talk to each other through that. But sometimes it turns out so.
Amazing. Like he wants to use that translating app to communicate with them so they can play together. That's really amazing. Thank you for teaching us this morning. Hello, Dana. All right. Would you pray for us, please? That's a great message for all of us. Thank you so much. Yes.
Lord Jesus, thank you for these children because truly children teach us so much about just being open and being loving and caring, and as the children said today, just to be able to communicate, to play with, and to welcome our friends who are from other places. And so I pray today that you will speak to all of our hearts and help us to be great neighbors, great followers of Jesus, who loves each one of us and wants to show that love to others. And we ask this in His name. Amen.
Amen.
So boys and girls, you're welcome to stay in church.
Go to
you
also
are welcome to go to children's church, which one of your parents and grandparents will take you to that door over there. Go upstairs and they will check you in. Well, our scripture reading today
should go with the children.
The book of Acts, the second chapter.
You take him?
So if you'd like to follow along, you can follow in your own Bibles or your Bible app, and to be honest, I'm not sure what page it is on the Pew Bible, but I do know it's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. So let's give reverent attention now to the reading of this God's holy and inspired word. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, First Presbyterian Church. I'm so honored and blessed to be here this morning and deliver the good news to you. So, let's start with this. Before coming to the States, I spoke no English. And even though I went to school and studied English for 6 years or more, and upon my arrival here, I thought I speak English, but when I came, I found out I spoke no English. Because the English we learn is completely different than the real English. So Pastor Scott asked me to preach, and he told me it is going to be Pentecost Day, Pentecost Week. So I prayed and said, "Lord, can you help me out? Can you gift me, pour out your Spirit on me so I can speak in tongues?" And then the Lord was like, "No. Because you're going to be in a Presbyterian church." So, but the Lord said, "I will give you my Spirit. And my Spirit will help you to deliver the good news." Let us pray. Quickly ask the Lord to open your heart and your mind to hear what the Spirit is trying to tell you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first, Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? In Hebrew, Spirit is a noun, feminine, that means breath, wind. The breath of the mouth is Spirit. Also, the Spirit or the breath, the wind, it's a metaphor for God's Spirit. Also, the Spirit is the third person of our triune God. The Holy Spirit always been mistreated, misused, and undervalued in the church. Unfortunately, we often associate the Spirit with some people and disassociate it with others, making the judgment is our right. The Holy Spirit welcomes everyone. The work of the Spirit in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is to generate, sanctify the saints. The difference in the Old Testament, the Spirit goes to certain people. to judge kings, prophets, for a specific task. But in the New Testament, the Spirit was poured on everyone to empower them to witness for Christ. In the book of Genesis, we find the Holy Spirit present at the beginning, in the second verse in Genesis. The Holy Spirit was there, hovering over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit was there to welcome the whole creation. It is a welcoming spirit. The Spirit, the breeze of air that goes in and out, gives life. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." The Holy Spirit gives life. Each one, with no exception, welcomed by the Spirit to receive life. Similarly, when Jesus Christ, Jesus appeared to the disciples when they were gathered behind locked doors. They were afraid of Jews. And the Lord gave them peace, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Spirit is empowering, the Spirit is life-giving, and the Spirit is welcoming. In the book of Numbers, the Lord asked Moses to appoint 70 elders and told him to bring them to the tent so that the Lord would come down and take from the Spirit that's on Moses and distribute it on them. But there was something happened there. There was two approaches to something that happened there. Let's read what happened from Numbers 11, 26 to 29. "However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp." They did not go to the tent. They remained in the camp. "They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.' Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, 'Moses, my Lord, stop them.' But Moses replied, 'You're jealous for me, for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them.'" So the first approach was Joshua. Joshua was trying to keep the order of the group, but limited the work of the Spirit. The second approach was Moses, who told Joshua, "I wish all the people of God would receive the Spirit and prophesy." Moses knows that the Spirit is a welcoming Spirit. This wish of Moses became a prophecy in the book of Joel. Let's read Joel 2:28. "And afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. The Spirit, again, for all flesh." Now, in the New Testament, the early church understood what happened in the day of Pentecost as a fulfillment for that prophecy of Joel. At the same event, Peter declared good news of salvation to all. In verse 21, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the good news of salvation to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus, before ascending to heaven, asked his disciples to stay in the city until they have been clothed with power from above. Not that something will happen to their bodies, but a power will come from above and clothe them. 10 days later, the disciples received the Spirit. The power of the Spirit will allow them to witness the good news to their neighbors, to their surrounding cities, and to the end of the earth. The Spirit empowers the church to witness to all the world. The time came for fulfillment what Jesus had told them about. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. On Pentecost, God introduced himself as a welcoming Holy Spirit. People from over the world were gathering. It was a Jewish feast. The Holy Spirit came like a wind, and tongues of fire rested on each of the disciples. Each one of them. The power of the Spirit helped the disciples to witness Jesus to all the components of the society at that time. So the Jewish people received the Spirit because they were there, and some of the disciples were Jewish. Samaritans, you all may know how the hate between Jewish and Samaritans is deep and historical. But the book of Acts 8:4-8 tell us that Philip went down to Samaria city and proclaimed the good news to Samaria. And when the apostles knew that Samaria accepted Christ, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. So they prayed and laid hands on them, and they have received the Holy Spirit. Samaria received the Holy Spirit. Gentiles also received the Holy Spirit. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Jewish believers and Peter were astonished that the Holy Spirit was poured out on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praised God. Peter gave his report back to the church in Jerusalem, saying, "So if God gave them the same gift he gave to us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" The Holy Spirit welcomed Gentiles. Peter and the disciples understood that if God welcomed us, we should welcome them too, and not treat them as second-class Christians. Not only did the Spirit welcome Jewish, Samaritans, and Gentiles, but the Spirit welcomed none of the above. Meaning, the Spirit welcomed foreigners who are not part of the covenant at all. So, those, as Jesus said, at the end of the earth, the Holy Spirit welcomed them. Acts 19, when Paul passed by Ephesus and found some Christian disciples, when asked if they have received the Holy Spirit, they replied, "Nope, we have not even heard about the Holy Spirit. We never heard about that there is Holy Spirit." Verse 6 says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came to them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They received the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost is about welcoming the Holy Spirit for all people, all nations, all colors, ethnicities, and backgrounds. The good news that everyone is embraced in God's kingdom. Jews, Gentiles, enslaved people, enslavers, men, women, all are welcome. The Holy Spirit removed all the differences and divisions between people and united them all together. This is how God will restore His kingdom. All are welcomed and all are empowered to live and minister for Christ. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit, it removed even the language barriers. They declared the wonders of God in the language of the people that were there at the time. At Pentecost, there were like 15 different languages, 15 different group languages. That tells us every language is appropriate vehicle for delivering and receiving Christ. You are empowered to work and witness for Christ by the Holy Spirit. So, without exception, most of these languages, if not all of them, are here in Harrisonburg. Do you welcome them? Do you love them? Do you show Christ's love to them? Love is not a feeling. Love is not only a feeling. Love is an action. Paul affirms to the Church of Corinthians. The Church of Corinthians had all the spiritual gifts, including speaking in tongues. But all of this, without love, is nothing but noise. The parable of the Good Samaritans, when a lawyer went to Jesus to test Jesus and asked him, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus told him the story of the Good Samaritan and then told him, "Go and do likewise." Go and do likewise, like the Samaritan. Go and have heart for immigrants and refugees. Go and help bandage their wounds. They're coming from backgrounds where they suffered. They suffered physically, they suffered psychologically, they suffered spiritually. Go and care for them. Go and provide for them. As the children said, go and help teach them English. You know, one of the good ministers that we have in Richmond for immigrants and refugees, ESL classes. You guys speak English? Right? So, go and help a child to do their homework. This will show Christ's love. Go and share the extra stuff that you do not need in your garage, or the extra blanket that you have in your closet for years and you don't need it. Share it with somebody. It might be costly sometimes, right? But it will bring unlimited blessings to your life. The Holy Spirit empowers you and asks you to partner with the Spirit on this work. Let's close our eyes for a second and ask the Spirit's help in this work. If we hear that the Spirit empowers us to do this work, we are called to be witnesses to Jesus Christ among immigrants and refugees. Amen.
Amen. While I do believe the Lord spoke through you, and now we come to the table. And as we come to the table, I think it's appropriate to prepare. Because there's a lot of questions about this table. You know, is this the actual body and blood of Jesus? Is it just a symbol, a metaphor? Or, as we say in our Presbyterian tradition, is it the real spiritual presence of God? I do believe that the Spirit is very real and present here. So before we come to His table, before we meet with Him, it is appropriate to prepare our hearts through confession. Listen to these words from Jesus. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Let us confess our sins to God then, first in silence, and then in the words on the screen. And together, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse our thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, here's the good news of the gospel, the good news that was proclaimed on Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out not just on Jews, not just on Samaritans, not just on Gentiles, but on you and me. And when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to make us faultless to stand before the throne and therefore to welcome us at this, His table. So friends, if you've confessed your sins and Jesus is your Lord, you are welcome at this, His table. Let me pray. Lord, take this bread and this cup from their common and ordinary purpose, indwell them by your Spirit, and indwell us by your Spirit. Empower us to be your hands and feet and voice in a world that longs for your presence. Do this and do more, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, here again the words of institution as delivered by the Apostle Paul. It was on the night that Jesus was betrayed that he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Drink of it, all of you, and as often as you do so in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul goes on to say that whenever we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's saving death until He comes again. So now all of you, come, eat, drink, and be filled, for these are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Today, we're going to be taking communion, if you're here in the sanctuary, through these prepackaged elements. And I had this kind of profound thought about these prepackaged elements, that if the Holy Spirit is pleased to make this the real spiritual presence of God, this the real spiritual presence of God, then maybe, just maybe, He's willing to make you and me the real spiritual presence of God in His world. The way we're going to take communion today is take the bread part of this whenever you're ready as a sign of your personal faith, and listen to this song, Wood and Nails, and when the song is done, we'll open up the other side and we'll drink the cup together as a sign of our corporate faith. But now all of you, come, eat, drink, and be filled, for these are the gifts of God for you, the people of God.